T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's really a tough call, right? You want your kid to
I don't
have,
think it is at all.
No.
You go with All-American Boy Raider fan?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
are. Okay.
Yeah, one.
I don't want to envision my child at 14
well, yeah.
going down that path.
Well,
right.
Or any age.
Or right. any age.
Yeah,
age.
If the college, right. college yeah. boyfriend was the same thing.
Either way, no matter what age they are. Yeah, no matter what age they are, right?
It wouldn't matter. Like, you have dominance over the Raiders.
Right.
That is
and,
true.
And
you
that's
got
for the foreseeable future.
Right?
I would have scoreboard. They would provide an instant, not really a bond, but kind of a bond.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could needle this person about being a Raider fan.
Poke the bear.
But you knew that it was a good kid.
Yeah.
You're so a good to me, kid. It's a no-brainer. I can't believe you found multiple people that said, I don't know about this one.
Most people said, I would rather Chiefs have my child, whether boy or girl, have a significant other that's a Chiefs fan with herpes as opposed to a 4.0 Raider fan.
I can't
fan.
Believe like, that'd be the case.
That's
913-576-7610 on the
Who
text line.
Who are these
line.
Friends?
Well, I just told you, my friend Diane. We do the history podcast together. I surveyed a few people around the office yesterday. I just want to ask random people, what would you rather have? Boy, that's a tough one because Raider fan basically is like a herpy, you know? It's like, ooh, I don't want that guy around here. I don't want that girl. I'm a Raider fan. So, yeah, which would you rather have, right? Which would you rather have your child bring home? Hey, I'm getting married.
Raider
Congratulations.
Fan, for sure.
4.0, All-American boy, help senior citizens cross the street, Raider fan, or a Chiefs fan with herpes? Which would you rather have your child be involved with?
Why, that's the scenario.
Yeah,
it's so randomly weird.
And this just popped up, too, you know, just randomly. Man.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking about your daughters on the bus trip, and a lot of times you do these bus trips, and then you come back, and you got a boyfriend.
Yeah, good thing is we got some great chaperones that are on the that
no
are
Raider
on this
fans
trip.
Allowed or what?
Oh, man, look, the first night I was looking at a video from one of the chaperones, and he did an old school trick that our band director used to do at Northeast High School. Whenever it was time to go to your rooms, the electrical tape was placed on the door to see if you've tried to come out of the door after lights out.
If you broke the seal,
you were
busted.
In trouble. You're
yeah.
done.
Yeah.
You were done.
What if you had to go to the bathroom?
No, there's a bathroom inside your hotel room.
Okay. Oh, okay, true, yeah.
So you had time to get your ice, your snacks, whatever.
Yeah.
And as he's making rounds, a couple of the fellas open up the door. Oh, Miss Sam, we're sorry. We're not trying to get out. Let that tape break.
Yeah.
Let the tape
see
break.
See where we go.
I so, do yeah. like that. So you can't go get ice or snacks in the middle of the night.
Nope.
It's good, right. a good ploy. For the text line, let's admit it. If he's a Raiders fan, no way he's 4.0 All-American helping grandma across the street.
Fair point. That is a fair point. He's probably pushing grandma into traffic and he's got a 1.7.
These are indeed hypotheticals.
Yeah, they're very hypothetical. But hypotheticals are the best.
Someone else is kind of weird, but herpes is like 1 in 3. So the chances, I don't know if it's that high. The fact that you had to ponder it does make me chuckle. You're like, yeah, we weigh in on this one. So it says 70-80% of people already have it. So I'd go the Chiefs fan, unless you're talking about the you know, the down low one,
yeah.
and then I take
the Raider
fan. I'm like, wow.
Oh, my goodness. If I could read the text that I'm getting on my phone.
Oh, yes, yes.
So you're going with the Raider fan?
100%.
All right.
I'm 100% Raider fan. What, 100% Raider
what if the Raider fan is a 1.7 student, though, that has done nothing good with his life? You still going Raider fan at that point?
He doesn't have herpes. We can get you tutoring.
Okay, fair enough.
Or he won't be around long.
Right.
Yeah.
He's not going to pass the test.
You know the other one will be around a lot.
It's tough to be a parent these days. These are the things you have to think about. Is my kid going to date a Raider fan? Like, I told my children, you can date anybody you want, go to school anywhere you want, except Mizzou. That's the only rule I got.
Both of you have seen Bad Boys 2, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So my daughter now gets to the point whenever one of the guys at school likes her, she'll automatically go up, my dad and his uncles are Bad Boys 2. And they'll say, what do you mean? The incident where Reggie goes to the door to take the daughter out.
Mm-hmm.
That is us, 100%. Guns, the whole nine. You know, you are going to get a show. And she completely prefaces it with, my dad is crazy and my uncles are even crazier.
So what do the boys then go away?
After I give him a good firm handshake. One showed up at a birthday party last year and he was scared to come over and talk to me. And so finally I said, either he comes over and talks to me or, you know, he's no longer a part of, you know, the party. So
right,
he finally came over and I shook his hand.
You're intimidating though, dude. I mean, let's be honest. Any father is intimidating at that point in time. Remember when you were 13 or 14 years old? My goodness.
B-Dub looks like a bouncer though.
that's what I'm saying. B-Dub, you're even more intimidating than Josh and I.
This is different league. Especially your arms folded.
Yeah.
That steely stare.
Oh, yeah. Put a pair of sunglasses on.
You would not be easy to approach.
Oh my gosh.
It was the look. So I shook his hand and I said, hey, appreciate you coming over. Appreciate you coming to say hi. My daughter is too young for a boyfriend. You can be friends. So let's enjoy the rest of the day.
And what did he say?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I'll go back and have a cup of punch now.
Sorry.
Is that sherbet in the punch? Is this a special occasion?
Mr. D-Bob.
Yeah. he stayed away the rest of the day.
Have you seen that gentleman since?
No, he's gone.
He's gone. He's been kicked to the road. Uh-huh. Yeah. And your daughter probably looks at him and goes, I ain't going to date anybody that's not as strong or stronger than my dad.
Exactly.
Yeah. Was it an uncomfortable handshake? Because the text line says the best handshake is when you hold it for a very uncomfortable
moment. Oh, yeah. I squeezed it, and I held on and just was looking at him. I was like, how you doing? How's everything going? Appreciate you coming.
Did he have any kind of conversation with you whatsoever?
When we got in the car, because we had to go across the street to the pizza place because we weren't going to spend the ungodly amount at Main Event. So we went to the pizza place. And the pizza place
was probably better pizza.
Where'd you
go? To Tim's?
Original pizza.
Okay.
The first test was sitting there waiting for him to open the car door for my daughter. And my nephew finally had to go over and say, hey, jackass, open up the door for her.
Yeah.
You're going to lose your first checkmark.
Puts her head down. Yeah, you failed that one. You hear her in the back of the car. So the whole car ride was, all right, so what is your plans for after school? Because you're probably not going to make the NFL, you know, and that's his, he's a football player.
Mm-hmm.
I said, chances are you probably won't make the NFL. Well, Mr. Williams.
Throw out the NCAA stat to him.
I'm going to double major in, okay, all right.
What's he going to double major
in? Yeah, he couldn't explain it to me.
Okay, that's fine. But he's a freshman. What was he, eighth grade or freshman at that time?
He was in eighth grade.
So you're asking the kid what he's majoring in eighth grade?
Straight.
And he had an answer? That's a keeper right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a keeper.
He didn't make it.
He didn't. Because he didn't open the door.
There you go. She has high standards.
Well, she should. She should. Everybody should have high standards, except my wife clearly doesn't.
Did the Rocks come yet?
No, not yet. They're supposed to be here this week. I leave town tomorrow, so hopefully they're here today or tomorrow. Tomorrow would be better.
Somebody said, what if it was Derek Carr's kid?
That's tough, yeah.
Like Derek Carr's like super nice. Yeah. He's like anti-Raiders, like very, very nice.
Yeah.
And off-putting, and he's not a threat.
No.
Even though he'd probably be a Raider fan. He'd probably be really nice about it. So mm-hmm. Derek Carr's kid probably be all right.
Derek Carr's kid would be okay, yeah.
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't wear mascara.
Your standards? What? Not going goth? Goth boyfriends?
No goth.
Hmm. Oh, Derek Carr. Because Derek Carr wears mascara.
Yes.
So you're saying. Okay.
And not just on Halloween.
It's like, I'm just saying, B-Dub would make you pee your pants. That's from the text line. 913-576-7610. Yes, you're very, you'd be very intimidating to try to approach.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is going to be a regular thing or not. But Fesco's got his first power ranking.
Damn right I do.
Of the off season, he can't wait to share with you next.
This is Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Around groovy people. I don't like nobody that's got an ego. I don't like to sit around and hold a conversation with somebody who don't know where he wants to go. Give me the simple life, full of fun and joy. Can't you see I'm just a big old country boy? And I like groovy people. I'm talking about groovy down-home people.
It is wide-ranging today. You picked the music on a Way Back Wednesday.
That one's for me.
973-576-7610 at BWKC on Twitter.
Give me a little rolls,
the
baby.
Music today. We'll talk to Bob Herrig of Sports Illustrated coming up at 8:30. He's down at the PGA Championship. We chatted with him prior to the Masters. And he couldn't have better timing for a book about Tiger and Phil.
I mean, my God, if you could have scripted this any better, right?
It came out because it's, guess what? This PGA Championship, but Tiger and Phil. Yeah. Pretty much still. One of them's not even playing. So we'll get the latest on the PGA Championship with Bob Herrig of Sports Illustrated coming up in about 10 minutes. I don't know if this is going to be a regular thing or not.
Probably not.
Bob likes Rushmores. He may deny it, but he likes ranking things in fours. And so,
well, there's only 4 teams of the division.
This is right up your alley.
It's true.
Your first power ranking is out.
Well, I decided to delve into this. I was looking at our parent company, Odyssey Sports, on Twitter, and they were power ranking the NFC East quarterbacks. I'm like, okay, did they do every division? They probably each day, you know, do a different one. And I was like, have they done the AFC West yet? No, they haven't. So I decided to take over that baton. And if it's at the national level, I'm sure their power ranking is going to look a lot different than my power ranking, right? I would imagine that, like, if you're going to power rank the quarterbacks in the AFC West, there are probably mopes out there who are going to put Justin Herbert on the top of the list and not Patrick Mahomes.
That's correct.
Right?
Of course.
We're going to see that, right? Yeah. Some slappy out there is going to go, oh, I think Justin Herbert's number one.
We're the Chargers.
Yeah, no, you're not. So number one for me when I'm ranking the power ranking the AFC West quarterbacks, it's Patrick Mahomes. It's his division until it's not his division. Until one of these other slappies can step up and actually knock Patrick Mahomes off and claim the division championship and wear the T-shirt and wear the cap and brag and have the bragging rights, Patrick Mahomes is the number one quarterback in this division. And in my opinion, it's not even close when you're looking at that. Number two, if I'm power ranking the quarterbacks in the AFC West, is Russell Wilson. Based on track record, Russell Wilson has a couple of Super Bowls. He's won in the postseason a lot. He's been a championship-level quarterback. He comes in at number two on my list. Number three on power ranking of the AFC West, when it comes to quarterbacks, Derek Carr comes in at number three for me. And the reason Derek Carr comes in at number three for me is because There was a game last year, I don't know if you recall this, in week 18 that all of America was watching. The winner of that game went to the playoffs. The loser went and picked dingleberries out of their belly button. Guess what happened in that game? Derek Carr won and his team went to the playoffs.
We're the Chargers.
And that's why, for me, Justin Herbert is the fourth best quarterback in this division right now. If I'm not mistaken, he's the only quarterback that has never led a team to the postseason. He's the only quarterback that truly hasn't had a winning record. And he's the only quarterback that has not had postseason success in this division. And that's why he comes in at number four.
We're the Chargers.
So Mahomes 1, Wilson 2, Carr 3, Justin Herbert comes in at number 4. That's power ranking the AFC quarterbacks the real way.
By height? That's the real way?
By like legit real on-field success.
The only one I would flip-flop, I'm a bigger Justin Herbert fan than you are. No, he hasn't won anything, but he puts up numbers. Like, Derek Carr can't touch his numbers.
Is it about numbers or is it about helping your team
win? Who do I want playing
quarterback?
Who do I want playing quarterback? I want a guy that's going to put up numbers. I mean, Derek Carr's not going to throw you 30 touchdowns, and last year is probably his best year. And I don't know if it'll hit it again.
He's got Josh McDaniels now. Who knows?
So I think Justin Herbert's still on the rise. They'd probably have Russell Wilson though at number two, just based on history. Plus, he's been like he's pretty consistent low to mid 30s touchdown guy, like with not a lot of picks either. And he's got some good weapons offensively, so I'd probably have him second. I'd have Herbert third, and I'd have Derek Carr, who I don't hate. And yes, I should give him more of a bump for a team that actually made the playoffs last year.
Yeah,
but I think he's probably the least. Least talented of the quarterbacks, so I would take him fourth.
And that's saying a lot, though, because he's still a pretty darn good quarterback. That shows you the amount of like good quarterbacks that are in this division. But I can't acknowledge Justin Herbert until he does something that I go, okay, that's what a quarterback's supposed to do. Because
I'll take 5,000 yards and 38 touchdowns. I'll roll with that.
That's fine.
I'll roll with that.
Nothing in the playoffs.
I'll coach him better.
You're going to have to
coach that team better, you know.
Going to have to coach that team better.
But so. I'll take the quarterback. You're
quarterbacks.
I'm ranking the quarterbacks. I'm not ranking the team. I'm
taking
who would I put in a better situation than he's been in in terms of everything else, but just strictly quarterback, I'll take 5,000 yards and 38 touchdowns. I think that guy's good.
Quarterbacks are supposed to make your team better. I don't know that Herbert's ever made that team better, so I'm not acknowledging him. I'm on the Justin Herbert screw you train, man. and that's not because of him. Not because of him at all. Because of the way he's being treated like he's a deity. Like he just came down from above and had a scroll or something. And everybody's like, oh, Justin Herbert, win something, do something, raise the level of your team, overcome your incompetent coach.
No, it's cool you don't.
No. I can just give you like that's the advice for everybody else.
I don't need him to prove it and prove all these
old scroll of whatever he comes down the mountaintop.
Dummies with. Wrong that still want to pick the Chargers to win the AFC West like Jeremy Fowler.
I was pumping that old Chargers theme song this morning, Ryan. We're the Chargers. It's coming. It's their year. They got a top six quarterback. I don't trust Denver yet, even though they have the acquisition of Russell Wilson. He's got something to prove. The Kansas City Chiefs, they are a little flawed, even though I just pumped them up. And then the Raiders haven't won the division since, like, boy bands were popular back in the early 2000s. So the stage is set for the Chargers. They got the best offensive personnel in the division, and the defense just loaded up with free agents and draft picks. They're going to be a lot better.
Oh, my God. The stage has been set for the Chargers for, like, 10 years now. Good grief.
We're the Chargers.
Yeah, they're ready to roll.
It's going to be their year. Okay.
Right.
Just keep saying that till you will it into existence, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm all for it not happening. I think he's a good quarterback. I'm just glad that stuff hasn't broken right for that team yet because they are talented. They've been talented, though, for a long, long time. They just haven't won anything.
You know, and the reason why they suffered injuries, I mean, they have suffered more severe injuries than any team probably in the last decade in the NFL, right? Every year you go, oh, my God, they look like they don't lose guys that you never heard of, right? They're losing legit players, Keenan Allen. Has Bosa played a full season? Yeah, like, so you look at the
Derwin James,
right? Name a wide receiver here. Like, whoever it is on that team, anytime they get injured, it's like a big name. You're like, oh, my goodness. And then they have a kicker miss extra points and stuff at the end that cost them games. And now they've got a coach that is clearly after last season incompetent when it comes to whether or not to go for it on fourth down or go for a two-point conversion or any of that kind of stuff, because as well as Justin Herbert played, you can't overcome incompetence on the sidelines to the point where your own team was mocking you. I mean, we saw it in that, you know, schedule release. They were mocking their own coach for going for it on fourth
down. Chargers, no good.
So they've got to find a way to overcome some of this stuff, and you hope, if you're a Charger fan, the one guy that is, like, they overcome all this stuff still in the prime of Justin Herbert's career. You're starting to run out of years with Justin Herbert. I don't know how many more he's got.
It's like girls are a different species or something.
Oh, who needs them? You like popsicles?
Well, sure.
And you need to come on down to the cellar. I got a whole freezer full of popsicles.
Adios! Adios, Chargers!
Also, stop, speaking of, you know, Herbert and he being on Love, stop doing that to Josh Allen, too. Like, give me a break. The latest is Mike Robinson of Good Morning Football.
I like him.
And he did the perfect troll job, I think, because it did get Chiefs fans all mad yesterday. Michael Robinson went through his top five quarterbacks for a two-minute drill. And he had Josh Allen ahead of Patrick Mahomes. And boy, were Chiefs fans just more than willing to ante up. Like, what about the 13 seconds?
In what scenario? Excuse me?
Two-minute drill.
Oh, you mean the 13-second drill.
Well, he's going to
give
him
the
full...
You don't want to be a 13-second man, but that's Patrick Mahomes, man.
He's
going to
give him the full 2 minutes, I guess, for this. But, yeah.
Even with the full 2 minutes, Patrick Mahomes outdueled him. Yeah. I don't know how you put Josh Allen ahead of Patrick Mahomes in that scenario.
Yeah, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Matthew Stafford.
Hmm.
And boy, Chiefs fans let him have it.
Well, they should.
Let him have it.
Yeah, absolutely should. I mean, 13 seconds.
Yeah.
What else do I need to say?
It doesn't feel like you can anoint that one yet.
No. If you wanted to put Tom Brady in over Patrick Mahomes, fine. Tom Brady's in the number one leader in every category. I mean, it's Tom freaking Brady, right? Fine. We can live with that. Not Josh Allen. You had like two opportunities inside of 2 minutes and couldn't get the job done. Now your defense is a little bit to blame as well. But you left 13 seconds on the clock. It's poor clock management if you're the Buffalo Bills.
Your problem is he went head-to-head with you and had no time and did what he needed to do.
Yeah, 13 seconds, he moved it
down the field.
Don't come at me
with Josh Allen just yet.
You can't do that with Josh Allen. He's not ready. Like, but boy, all these guys, man, you're not ready until you do.
They're just tripping over themselves to pick the Bills.
Can't wait. Can't wait to pick the Bills. I can't wait till the Chiefs kick their ass on Sunday night or whatever it is here in October when they're a point and a half underdog and everybody has to go back looking their wounds going, I expected the Bills to be on top.
And then
they have
to come to Arrowhead again.
Yeah, and they have to come to Arrowhead in the playoffs, get their ass waxed again.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
That'd be good. I don't care as much about the regular season matchup, although
we got to win it this year.
I do appreciate winning that one to put yourself in a better position for number one seed and all those things. And then have them come back here in the playoffs. And
correct. Yeah, you got to take care of business, though. I think going forward right now, every game against the Bills is a must-win game just to keep those bragging rights out there, Josh, just to keep that Buffalo fan base and national media bagum scoreboard.
Joining us now is Bob Herrig of SI.com. I'm going to talk a little PGA Championship with him, but we were discussing a little bit earlier, Bob. Last time we had you on was just before Augusta, and we were talking Tiger and Phil, and your book comes out about Tiger and Phil. You couldn't have planned this book release really any better, could you?
Yeah. You know, when I was doing this, I was sort of thinking that we were celebrating kind of the end of their careers with maybe just a glimmer of hope that there could be more. I don't think anybody could have envisioned that we'd be having going on what's happening now with both of them so prominent. You know, last year when I was finishing up the book, I don't think there was much thought of Tiger playing any golf this year. And certainly there was no thought that Phil would be embroiled in this incredible controversy that's, you know, damaging his legacy and, you know, keeping him from playing in majors. And it's been a really remarkable couple of months here. And as the book has come out, you know, I'm telling people I need some more time to add a couple chapters because You know, certainly there's more to be said about these guys.
There's a lot to be said. And let's start with Tiger, because I've loved Tiger since the day I saw him play for the first time in the 90s, and I've rooted for him ever since. And to hear his comments yesterday about, you know, how much time he took off after the Masters, and he said Monday and soaked his leg in ice and then was back doing leg presses on Tuesday. I mean, do you need any more information, Bob, to wonder why he's the greatest golfer we've ever seen?
Yeah, he's got an amazing resolve. He's got obviously an amazing pain tolerance. I tried to ask him yesterday, and he didn't really like dive into it deeply, but it makes you wonder, when did he decide that he wanted to, his goal was to get back by the Masters? Because that was on nobody's radar, and his public comments didn't give any credence to the idea of that happening. You know, he talked in December. He talked again in February. The middle of February, he had a news conference at the Genesis Invitational where his foundation runs the event. And so you're talking like 7 weeks or so from the Masters. And the idea of him playing in the Masters at that time seemed absolutely off the charts. No way. Like, he gave no indication that he was trying. He downplayed it. He acted as though, I've got a long way to go. I mean, playing in a cart's one thing. You know, this leg needs to get a lot stronger. He talked again about how when he does play, it would be very sporadic. But you know, at that time in the back of his mind, he had to be thinking of it. Because there's no way you get ready to play the Masters if you don't put every ounce of your preparation into it. So pretty incredible that he even played. You know, I know we all dive down into the numbers and, you know, it was his worst finish and his worst scores, all that. But, you know, it was a victory just getting through it. And hats off to him for pulling that off.
Until you said that, I had no idea that was his worst round of the Masters ever, because it didn't matter to me. It was just remarkable Watching him out there and playing. And I'm sure for him, though, he looked at it and went, that was my worst ever. I got to get better. And that's why he's back in the weight room the day
Tuesday,
later.
Tuesday, yeah.
He shot 78 on both weekend days. And I think his highest score before had been a 77 when he was an amateur. Even in 2020, when he made the 10 on the 12th hole, he rallied to shoot 76. You know, he was 7 over par on one hole, and he ended up, you know, he birdied 5 of the last 6 holes to shoot 76, which is incredible. But so, yeah, 78s were his worst. 47th was his worst in the tournament. He's only missed one cut, and that was as an amateur. But you're right. Nobody cares. That was you shouldn't have. If he'd have missed the cut, you shouldn't have cared. I mean, he beat Jordan Spieth. He beat Brooks Koepka, DeChambeau, Xander Schauffele. Those guys all missed the cut. Tiger made it. You know, a couple of those guys have won tournaments since. So when you put it in that perspective, you know, that he was hanging in there with guys who have since won. I just can't say enough about how impressive it was. Forget about the scores.
Bob Herrig of SI.com joining us. So if he goes to that one and then shuts it down, we'd be like, oh, okay, we saw a cool moment. Looks like is he in better position this weekend?
Yeah, I think you have to have some of the same expectations. I think making the cut here is harder. It's more guys to beat. Really at the Masters with 90 players in the field and a cut of 50 in ties, and you've got probably, you know, 15 to 20 that are probably not that competitive with past champions and such. Here it's 156 players, 70 make the cut. That means roughly, what, 80 don't? But you've got to still, and there's 20 club pros who he should be obviously able to beat, and maybe a handful of past champions that he's better than. But he's still talking, you're still talking about like 50 guys he's got to beat to make the cut. And on a golf course that's going to probably play more difficult than Augusta, it won't be a more difficult walk. So, you know, I think, again, you know, you got to sort of keep the expectations in check, and then, can he make the cut? And then I think from there, what you hope is that he improves on the weekend. Like, that would be the thing I'd be looking for. You know, he shot 78-78 at Augusta. This time, can he? And he lamented just not having the stamina, not having the strength. You know, it got worse as he went on. Is he able to hang in there longer this time? Is he able to withstand more and have a good weekend? So getting to the weekend is the first step, and then I think if there's improvement on the weekend, then it's a great week for him again. And then we go to the next tournament. I'm not sure if he'll play the U.S. Open. If he does, I think that's another difficult place for him at this point of his career. But really, down the road, the Open at St. Andrews, you know, if he's able, it's still 2 months away. If he's able to gain some strength and some repetitions, you know, maybe there we start looking at, God, could he actually contend? And look, I'm not ruling out him contending this week, because I am tired of saying things about Tiger and then having it, you know, you just never say never with him. I never thought he'd play the Masters. I should have never said that because he did end up playing the Masters.
You know, all these great athletes, and I'm just listing a couple right now as I'm listening to you, Bob, about, you know, I'm not saying anything picking against him ever again. It's Mahomes, it's Tiger, it's Michael Jordan. Like, there are certain guys that you just don't bet against, and as long as they're in the field, you're riding with those guys.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you just kind of you go against it at your own peril, right?
Right.
And I always said that about Tiger, and yet I let myself say there was no way he'd play the Masters. But, you know, look, common sense suggested it. I mean, I saw the way he was walking in L.A. And look, we analyze every step he takes now, and I think we have to stop doing that. I think there's going to just be a little bit of a hitch or a limp in his walk. That's just the new normal. And as a round goes on, and depending on hills or depending on how long the day has been, it might get worse. I just think we have to get used to that. I think he's getting used to that. I don't think it means that the rain is falling down on him if that happens. I just think that's part of what he's going to deal with now. And if he's able to strengthen his leg and his ankle to the point where that is less painful, and get the other stamina and going, and obviously keeps his game going, which obviously his game looks very good. You just drop him at the ball, and that part of it's fine. So, I just sort of marvel at the whole thing. It's been impressive.
His group is obviously the group to watch with Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy. Does that bring out the best in him as well?
It doesn't hurt. I don't think it hurts at all. I think Tiger gets it gives him an extra bit of motivation to play with some of the best guys. You know, he wants to stay with them. He wants to hit it out there with them. He wants to compete with them. You know, he's going to have a hard time hitting his drives out there with Rory. You know, and that's one area where I think he's smart enough to realize that I'm not going to drive it out there with him. But that's okay. You know, that means he gets to hit in first and knock it in there close, and that can sometimes get him in the other players' heads a little bit. So I think it's good for him to have these guys that he knows and that they're at the top of the game that he's playing with.
Bob, I'm going to do my best Jerry Seinfeld for you. What's the deal with beer prices at the PGA Championship? It seems like that's been the biggest story
to come out. We're not Augusta anymore.
Yeah, my take is you don't have to buy the beer, but it seems like that's got everybody all kind of uncomfortable in Tulsa.
I just think it's a little jarring to see the price of a beer at $18, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's a 20-ounce beer. Now, listen, I will say in their defense, like, apparently 90% of the tickets here, they're trying something new this year. It's an all-inclusive thing. Now, it doesn't include beer, though. It doesn't include alcohol. But it's like $175, and it includes all the food and drink, non-alcoholic. So, you know, is that too much for people's taste? I mean, if you look at the food prices, too, it's pretty substantial, but... You know what? If you come out here early and have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know, you can maybe get your money's worth for that. But yeah, I don't know. I guess, you know, that's the way of the world in sporting events. And look, let's be honest. At a golf tournament where they start serving beer in the morning, and it's not a 2 hour basketball game or a 3 hour football game, it can be an 8 to 10 hour day out here. And if somebody starts drinking at 11 in the morning and they're drinking till 6 o'clock, that's probably not a good recipe. So the prices are high, maybe to discourage, you know, and And I'm sure they're still going to get it. You know, I'm sure they'll still get it plenty. Otherwise, they wouldn't ask for it.
That's interesting. I never even thought of it that way. Tried to deter people from getting hammered on the course.
Right.
How are those people getting home? You know, that is the big question.
Bob, enjoy the weekend. Thanks again for the time, and we'll wait for the addendum to the book, too, at some point, right?
Yes, thanks so much.
That's Bob Herrig of SI.com. His book, Tiger and Phil, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry, has come out the spring now into summer, available at Amazon and others. But, yeah, it's going to need more.
The book can't go to press right now. There's still a lot more to be told. So wait a second. 2 months, there's a lot more to be told.
Part two will be coming soon. Money doesn't always win, apparently, at least for one NFL wide receiver. We'll tell you who next.
You're listening to Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967. The show first to breaking news in Kansas City.
So apparently, if you've pooped yourself on Lucky Charms, go to iwaspoison.com.
610 Sports Radio.
It's taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good. I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat. 6 foot apart. I wish I was like 6'9" so I could get with Leo. She cause she don't know me, but yo, she's really fine. You know, I see her all the time, everywhere I go. And even in my dreams, I can scheme a way to make her mine. Cause I know she's living fat. Her boyfriend's tall and he plays ball. So how am I gonna compete with that? Cause when it comes to playing basketball, I'm always last to be picked. And in some cases, never picked it off. So I just lean up on the wall or sit up in the bleachers with the rest of the girls who came to watch their man ball. Dag y'all, I never understood black weather jocks get the fly girls. And me, I get the hood rats. I tell them scat, skittles, kabobble. Got hit with a bottle, but sit in a hospital for talking that mess. I confess it's a shame when you living in a city that's the size of a box and nobody knows your name. Glad I came to my senses. Like quick, got six in my stomach. Overcome it by thoughts of me and her together, right? So when I asked her out, she said I wasn't that type. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat.
There was a day where I wish I wasn't a little bit taller, and then I wish I was a baller, but, you know.
You still shot the three like it was nobody's business, even though you weren't tall or a baller.
Nobody wanted that, though.
No, they didn't.
Nobody back in my day wanted a short point guard who only liked the three-point line and didn't defend.
Yeah.
There wasn't a market for that.
Somebody would say, that's the NBA today.
There wasn't a market for that in my day.
I love when people say the NBA doesn't play defense, and I got my Wayback Machine when I covered the Spurs for 2 years right outside of college, and that's always like, oh, no, the NBA doesn't play defense. Then, you know, you sit courtside for 2 years watching the NBA, and you see, oh, my God, these guys are busting their ass on defense. It's like, to me, I always go back to Carlos Beltran, too. Everybody thought he was, you know, lollygagging out there in center field. When you are so exceptionally good at a sport, you make it look easy. That's what athletes do. They make it look so easy where we as the common fan are looking at it going, don't look like you're trying. And then you look at it in person like, oh, no, they're trying.
Especially in the fourth, man, when they dial it up in the fourth. Because there is that extra gear.
Oh, yes, there is.
Or the playoff gear.
Yeah, the playoff gear is insane.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, the playoff gear is nuts in the NBA.
Pretty ridiculous. So we were talking with Bob Herrig of SI about the PGA Championship, but also the $18 beer.
That's right.
And it did get me thinking back in the day when I did play golf. I had my own rule, mm-hmm. which was I will drink one of their beers for every two that I've snuck in my bag. And I would give a little bit back to the course, but it was buy one,
get two free,
pull two out of the bag.
What were you drinking back then?
Well, those were probably like, well, because you had to have the beer that they sold there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so you could
kind of make sure like a Miller Lite or something you knew they'd have something like that. But you'd fill up the bag and stick your ice in the bag, stick your cans in there. But I
see it dripping as you drive.
I would have that was my ratio was I would buy beer.
You can't bring your own beer onto the course legally?
Well, no, they want to sell it to you.
Well, I understand that.
Of course they want to sell it to you. Yeah. So
It's frowned upon.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, are they going to kick you off? Is that like Bushwood or something like that?
Here they're cracking beers all day and hammered, and they haven't sold you one. Yeah, it gets a little bit of problematic.
But the issue is that arises, Josh. I know you can understand this one. Where's the beer cart girl? Like, what if she gets a flat? What if she's on the front nine? You're on the back nine. You need a beer. You
can't
gotta
keep
have
with
your own
pace.
Yeah,
you know,
that's the other
pacing.
Thing. Pacing is really important, yeah. Right? Like, some people drink faster than
yeah.
others.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some people, if you're buying three at a time, that should say to yeah. the beer carker, you better come back quick.
Unfortunately, I put more time and thought into how many beers you can fit in your bag yeah. rather than the golf game, and that's yeah. why I quit the golf game. But
that's,
you know,
I'm with you on that
one.
I was
terrible at the golf, and mm-hmm. it was like, I could just drink beer and not golf.
We're playing nine holes, this is much, beer a hole.
This is much... This is much better for my psyche.
Were you doing a beer a hole at that point in time?
No.
But for every two that you were drinking, you were buying one, so you were at least
yeah,
going
you
through
were,
a six pack.
You were doing your share.
Yeah.
So it's always about the money, we say, apparently, but it's not always about the money. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network disclosed yesterday via an appearance on the Pat McAfee show that the Packers actually offered Davante Adams a bigger contract, at least the first 2 years of the contract, than the Raiders did. And he said, quote, he just didn't want to be there, according to Ian Rappaport. Of course, he ended up signing a 5-year, $141.25 million deal with the Raiders, but that actually the first 2 years of the contract were more lucrative to stick around in Green Bay, presumably,
mm-hmm.
try to run it back with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, run what back? You got to do something.
He was not going to be, he was not interested in doing that.
And by the time he got to the end of those 2 years, he's probably looking at himself as well and saying, I'm probably going to be over the hill a little bit long in the tooth at that point in time. Look, him and Derek Carr were really good in college together, Josh. I've gone back and watched some of those highlight videos of those two together at Fresno State, and it's magic, right? And so he wants to recreate that magic with the quarterback that he really feels comfortable with. And quite honestly, not have to deal with this drama that is Aaron Rodgers every single day. Aaron Rodgers, like it or not, man, has created a lot of drama for a man who hasn't won a Super Bowl in a generation. Like, you're looking at a guy who's caused a lot of heartache, I'm sure, for a lot of players on his team, especially when he was going through that stuff last year. And Davante Adams is there going, look, I'm here. What are you going to do? And you're out, like, in a jungle getting grapes eaten off your back by a model. Like, what's going on here? And so I understand why Davante Adams probably took a little bit less money. You're also going to Las Vegas, no state income tax there in Nevada, so you could save a little bit on the back
Las
end.
Vegas, Green Bay. Las Vegas, Green Bay.
College boy versus, you know, some guy that's, you know, licking mud off of NASCAR drivers or, you know. So I'm
mixing up girlfriends.
Oh,
yeah,
am I?
Yeah,
I but I just think, it you know, I can understand why Davante Adams would do that because he's probably thinking to himself, I'm not doing this dance every year, man. And you know what? You did this to me last year. Revenge is best served cold or in Las Vegas. I'm out and I'm bouncing. And I give Davante Adams a lot of credit for that. And I'm tired of waiting around to see what you're going to do.
I mean, a couple things. Certainly playing with your, and he's also a friend, Derek Carr's our
That's what I'm saying. They're
buddy,
boys,
right?
Man.
He's
yeah.
a buddy, college teammate. Las Vegas versus Green Bay. Let's be frank. Green Bay for a black athlete hasn't been the greatest place to be, right?
Right.
Go to Las Vegas. Everybody loves Las Vegas.
Right.
Now you're saying just in terms of winning, you've actually had some success in Green. You haven't had the ultimate,
no.
But you're in the race.
You are.
You're hoping stuff breaks your way to get a playoff spot.
Sure.
In the AFC West.
Absolutely.
Right?
And
last
fair.
Year, I can't discount the fact they made the playoffs and the other two teams didn't.
Mm-hmm. If Davante Adams is playing for the Raiders last year, maybe they win a playoff game. Maybe we're not even talking about the Bengals.
So maybe, but you still have to kind of squint, I think, in the AFC West.
Yeah.
In the division, in the NFC, you're going, oh, yeah, we're in the playoffs.
You're going to win that division. Go to the Bears,
okay,
Vikings,
gives us
the
a chance. We're in the tournament. Let's do this whole thing.
Right.
So it gives you the opportunity to do it. All things being said, though, if it's the first 2 years, but you can still make up the contract in the 5 years, then what's the difference?
What's the difference? Right? Yeah, sure. But we know how NFL contracts work. It's all about give me all that money up front because I know that back
usually,
end I'm probably not.
Yeah, usually
see.
It's the first couple of years you want to get paid, and he would have gotten paid more in Green Bay.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, he's going to be happier, it seems like, to be in Las Vegas. And we really don't know what the dynamic is with Aaron Rodgers. He may be, I mean, his family doesn't even like him, for God's sake. So why would his teammates like him?
Well, and also if he wasn't in communication and they didn't know and they weren't really talking, which it sounds like happened too.
Correct.
Didn't sound like Aaron Rodgers even admitted he didn't. He didn't really talk to Devontae and didn't know that he wanted out.
Right.
Okay, what kind of relationship did you guys have anyway?
Exactly. So now he knows he can go play with a guy that he kind of grew up
great football-wise, but everything else might not have jived. Like, and then also,
and you don't have to worry about the snow.
Devontae
in Las
Adams
Vegas.
Knew he was getting to this point, right?
Right.
He knew he was getting towards free agency. He didn't know what Aaron Rodgers' future was, even throughout all of last year. He very well could have had one foot out the door anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You better where you just made your decision. Yeah, I don't care what you're going to come back with. I made my decision that this was going to be it, and this is now going to be it.
Right, and really, if you didn't make the decision to come back, and then I'm stuck playing with Jordan Love, and we did that for a game, we didn't like that so much, you know. So
yeah, you couldn't dump it over the top.
Yeah, I don't blame Devontae Adams, because if Aaron Rodgers didn't come back, or who knows what Aaron Rodgers is going to do, right? All of a sudden now Jordan Love's your quarterback. Well, that's going to hurt Devontae Adams. At least he knows in Vegas he's got a guy that he's played with before. They made each other better in college, and they're excited about it, man. They really are. Imagine going and having the opportunity to work side by side with one of your best friends from college and doing the same type of thing. Like, it's got to be a dream come true doing it in a great weather place, a great place to live in Las Vegas. You don't have to live in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and, you know, bathe in lard. So I just think right now he made the right decision,
man. I bet you can't find a cheese curd like that, though, in Vegas.
You probably can't, but that's okay. You can find other things.
Well, some of those celebrity chefs has got a great...
Yeah. There's probably good sushi out there.
Great one you couldn't think of.
Really good Italian food.
I just think the mindset, too, like, I thought last year was going to be it. It might be like a real come down to say, oh yeah, I re-signed him, I'm staying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would, like, so if your mind was elsewhere and you'd decided you were moving on for the Packers, even though if they came back with a big contract, you're like, yeah, but I was really planning on leaving.
Yeah, I'm out. You know what I mean? Just trade me to the Raiders.
Is it close? Can we get this
He's
close?
He's lucky they accommodated him too.
And obviously his number's great. So I mean the dollar number is great.
Yeah.
It screwed up
everything.
Tyreek Hill. So mm-hmm. He ended up setting the bar, so it didn't really matter where at that point in time, probably either. Like,
well, he probably went to him and said, "Trade me to the Raiders or nobody else, but I'm not re-signing here long term."
Yeah.
And so that now you've put the team in a corner.
Yep, yep.
You can't do that to baby though.
Money doesn't always win. Apparently, here's your one example that it didn't win. Usually,
wow.
Though,
an athlete chose happiness over cash.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell
Mark
it to Melvin. The tape.
Tell it to Melvin Ingram. No, I can't. Do whatever you want, Melvin. Do whatever you want. Royals manager Mike Matheny will join us with the latest on Salvi next.
Keep listening to Fesco in the Morning.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Thank you.
Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound. Your home for car audio since 1967 on 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.